Hello, this is Jaden Finder. We want to thank you for listening today. We would love to connect with you on social media. Now let's go into the live message.
2 Kings chapter 5, verse 1. Now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper. Maybe seated. From fatal to fantastic faith. I'm not sure that's grammatically correct, but I am addicted to alliteration. From fatal to fantastic faith. It could be called the rock star gets saved, because this guy was famous. His name was Naaman, and he was amazing. He was the greatest military leader of the time. The Bible said he was a man in valor. He was a mighty man. He had had great victories. He was the captain of the host of the king of Syria. He was the one that led them into battle and brought the victories back to Syria. I love this story about Naaman. There's not much said in the Bible about him except right here, but it's an amazing story. It's the story of a heathen. You know, people get upset when you use that word heathen. You know what that means? It means you're not saved. Everybody, and please don't put this on CNN. Everybody that's not a Christian, according to the Word of God, is a heathen. And so he was a heathen. He wasn't saved. He didn't understand about the God of Israel. He didn't know who the God of Israel was. But he was a rock star. He was powerful. He was adored. He was the guy people would get their autograph. He was something. And it was amazing to him when he woke up one day and he had leprosy. Leprosy was the cancer of the Old Testament. It was the diagnosis of fatality. Your life was going to end. So it's quite a story. It's the story of a man that was so strong and so powerful, and he could help everybody except himself. I love this story about Nathan. It's about a man that was at the top, and just like that, he's at the bottom. He's at the end, the place of hopelessness. He's beyond the scope of man's remedies. It's over. He was a leper. It's the death sentence of the Old Testament. This story offers hope for the hopeless, possibility for the impossible, healing for the sick, reconciliation for the separated, dreams for the disillusioned, future for the terminal, life for the dying, salvation for the lost, joy for sorrow, victory in the valley, help from the hangman, escape from death row. All of that's in this story. It's always been one of my favorite stories in the Bible. It simply says it's never, ever over. And it's always possible if you'll trust God. How do we make that journey from the depths of doubt to the pinnacle of faith? That's what this story is. It's a story of a man that had no faith, and he becomes a man of great faith in about 11 verses. I love to preach on faith, because it's a gift of God. It can happen to anybody. Nobody's exempt. And it can happen quickly. So I've preached all over this great country of ours, and I've seen great miracles. And many times they happened to people that 30 minutes before were totally absent of faith. But faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That's the reason why I'm not talking about Joe Biden or Donald Trump. it would not benefit you one iota whether I said good things or bad things about them. But if I can bring you the word of God and you can hear it, hear what the Spirit says, hear the word, something inside of you can change in the matter of 30 minutes or 15 minutes or 5 minutes. Your life can be transformed by the supernatural agent of faith that God has deposited in every one of us. Wake up! The awakening of faith in your life is the greatest miracle that can ever happen. From the folly of fear to the paradise of power was the quick journey that Naaman took. Here in this story is a paradigm, a schematic, a roadmap, a GPS of the journey from hopeless, fearful doubt to overcoming miraculous faith. He was shocked when he discovered he had leprosy. When he went to the king of Syria had no advice. It was beyond his control. For the first time in his life, Naaman was helpless. Let's look at this quick journey from futility and fatality to faith. He's talked to his wife. He's admitted, I've got leprosy. It's advancing. It won't be long now till he will be isolated, till he'll no longer be able to live in the home with his wife, with his children. He'll no longer be able to embrace the troops that he leads from victory to victory. He'll never no longer be in the king's court. He is about to become contagious. This famous man is about to become an outcast of Syria. Ah, but God's got a plan. A little girl, probably a little teenage girl, that they have captured and kidnapped when they have raided Israel's camp, is now the servant to his wife. And she overhears that her master, her slaveholder, has leprosy. And she just gives her little testimony. Oh, the power of a testimony by the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony. She said to Mrs. Naaman, she said, I would to God that he would go to church. I would to God he was in Israel, because Israel is different than Syria. Because in Israel, we've got a prophet, and that prophet knows the living God. And that prophet can speak a word, and God will work miracles. Here in Syria, we don't believe in miracles. When you get leprosy, you die. When you get leprosy in Israel, you get a testimony. That's the difference. I would to God that my master was in Israel. And finally, his wife got through to him and said, the little servant girl said, there is a prophet in Israel that could cause you to be healed. Step one, we must admit, regardless of who we are, that we are bankrupt of self-rescue. There's just some things you can't do for yourself. I know you went to college and got a degree. I know you pulled yourself up by your bootstraps and you got a shiny car and a nice house. I know that you're living better than your parents did and your cousin does. But there come a time in your life when you can't help yourself. The Bible said it this way, you can't lean on the staff of your own understanding. Get the word picture, because the staff will break. And when it breaks, it'll leave a pointed, jagged edge. And that thing you're leaning on won't be something to help you. It'll be something that pierces you and even makes it worse. Naaman had to realize, though he was captain of the host, he couldn't help himself. It was out of his control, even though he was a hero. Even though he was a hero, he simply couldn't do it on his own. Step two, I'm talking about climbing the ladder of faith. Your step from total unbelief to the mountaintop of faith. Number two, accept your messenger regardless of their humble station of life. This little maiden was a nobody in their eyes. She was simply a captive, kidnapped, nobody. But she was his portal to eternal life. Friend, you never know. He said, be careful how you treat people. Because said, some of them are going to be angels unaware. You just never know what an angel looks like. He might be a he and he might be a she. He might be white and he might be black. He might be brown, he might be yellow. He might be young and he might be old. He might be rich and he might be poor. But he can be your angel. Somehow, this man that had no faith or knowledge of the God of Israel, let that testimony open up his spirit just a little bit. And he said to his wife, what's she say? Said, if you go to Israel, there's a man of God there. There's a prophet there. And that prophet will tell you what to do. And if you'll do it, you can be healed of leprosy. So he gathered up his gifts. He got his hands and friends and workers and his horses and his chariots. And he shows up at the prophet's gate and said, tell them the great Naaman is here. The prophet is watching Oprah. He doesn't want to be bothered. He said, tell him, I said, if you go down to the river and he'll dunk himself seven times, he will be healed. That was not what he wanted to hear. The Bible said he was wroth. I like that word wroth. I get wroth sometimes. You ever get wroth? It's not good to get wroth. He got mad. He said, does he not realize who he's dealing with? I thought for sure he would tell me some great thing to do. But he don't even come out of the house. He sends a servant out here. Friend, I'm going to tell you, the road to faith is a humiliating road. Because before you get through, you're going to realize you ain't no better than anybody else. We're all the same, made in God's image, formed by his hand, breathing his breath, living on his planet at his mercy. But he was upset. But his servant said to him, if he'd have told you some great thing, you would have done it. Years ago, we had about 50 or 75 people that came to this church from the Catholic Church and got saved and baptized, and they were related, and it was when we first started the church, and they were related and intertwined, and they were wonderful people. And I just happened to be in the foyer of the church was still going on, and I'd gone out to my office, and all of a sudden I saw the patriarch, the old man that was over all these people. And all of his family, his wife, his kids, all everybody had got to come into the Living Way and gotten saved and filled with the Holy Spirit. And he just kicked the door. And he went out. He was mad. He went home. Came back. I was preaching. He's sitting there as mad as he could be. All of a sudden, he jumped out of that pew and run down there and threw himself on that altar, and God baptized him with the Holy Ghost, and he became one sweet Christian man. I said, why was you so mad? He said, I was so mad because it was so simple. He said, you're in an old theater building. It's ugly. There's no pomp. There's no circumstance. There's no gold. There's no silver. There's no staff. There's nothing. He said, I was mad because it was so simple and nobody had ever told me about it before. He's in heaven now. I had a man call me this week and he said, I want to thank you. I want to thank you for delivering me from religion. This man is one of the members here in our church and didn't get to come to church here much anymore because of his age. But he said, we were so deep in religion and so unsaved when we came to Living Way. Thank you for delivering us. And I've had people say, thank you for delivering us from alcohol and drugs. But he said, thank you for delivering us from religion because we didn't know Jesus. But there's always an anger when you realize it's not going to be on your terms. It's going to be on God's terms and God's terms alone. And so the servant said, if you'd done some great thing, he told some great, you would have done that. The third step in becoming a great person of faith, inquiring, it demands submission and humility. You must submit yourself. I was preaching in Louisiana. The altars were filled with people, and there's about 1,500 people in that church. We was having big time church. The pastor came and got me and he said, see this man right over here? I said, yeah. He said, first time he's ever been here. I said, he's a friend of mine. He is the number one defense attorney in the state of Louisiana. He's a multimillionaire. So I went over to pray with him, and I tried to act like Perry Mason. It would be like Perry Mason goes to church. I was trying to share with him on a way he could understand. He's not getting it. He's not getting it. I looked over not far away, and there's a little 7-year-old girl getting baptized in the Holy Ghost. I just got that attorney by the arm and drug him over there. I said, that's what I'm talking about right there. He said, I see. Threw up his hands and God baptized him with the Holy Ghost. You know, ultimately, this story of Naaman, I won't get finished with it, but it comes down to what? His flesh is like what the Bible said? Like a baby's flesh. Except you've become as a little child, you have to humble yourself. If you're going to become a great person of faith, you've got to realize that it's not going to be predicated on your IQ or your degree. It's just trusting God. That God is able to do things and he does them in the simplest way. And somebody in this building needs a miracle today. And you've got to get way beyond your flesh and way beyond your self-help and way beyond your explanation. And you've just got to say, I understand it. I was lost and Jesus Christ came and took my place and died on the cross. And he said, if you want what I've got and you want to lose what you have, you've got to accept me. And that's what it was with Naaman. And so step four, exact obedience. Exact obedience. Because he said, well, I kind of see what he's talking about. But he said, the river he's talking about is dirty and polluted. And he said, the rivers of Damascus, Abana and Pharpar, they're cleaner. And said, if he had said one of those rivers, I could have understood it. But that's not what he said. There has to be an exact.